Okay, here we go. Mason McTavish called on to win the draw against Elias Pettersson to the right of Lankinen. A lot will be decided here. Canucks hanging on to a 3-2 lead. Linesman will drop the puck. Goes down low. McTavish trying to win it. They drop it. Puck free. Here's Marcus Pettersson for the Canucks. Goes after it. And this game is history. And now, more of the rough stuff. Dakota Joshua's there. And you kind of sense that might happen. One of the linesmen did a terrific job getting him out of the pile, so to speak. McTavish was the guy that looked like he was going to intercede and cause some havoc with Joshua. Linesman separating the two teams, and I have to tell you this, I can't wait for the next Ducks Canuck battle. It'll be here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and look, the Anaheim Ducks, they have to have a short memory. They have to put this game behind them because there's some important games here coming up, and I know it's not easy to do, but you got, as you mentioned, upcoming game, St. Louis Blues. The New York Islanders are playing their best hockey of the season as of late. And, of course, Alex Ovechkin, the great eight, chasing the great ones. Goal mark of all-time goals scored in the National Hockey League. So, look, this is a tough stretch of games. You have Utah Hockey Club. That's the fourth game, and that's in Utah. It's just a tough one, Steve. And this Ducks team, they just got to put this one behind them and try to get as many points as possible these upcoming four or five games.
All right. We're going to let you go as we get ready for the postgame show with Alexis back home in SoCal. But again, a reminder, hope you're there at Honda Center. The Blues are in town to take on the Ducks Friday, March 7th. It's a 7 o'clock game. And if for some reason you can't be there, we'll have our pregame coverage beginning at 6:30. Well, I guess we'll see in the next 24 to 48 hours how this loss affects things standing-wise for the Anaheim Ducks, who are still pursuing a playoff spot. So we'll look forward to you and Alexis here in the next 60 seconds or so. Hand it over to you. I want to thank everybody involved with our broadcast tonight here and back at home. Tough loss. 3-2 was the final score, and we hope you join us from Honda Center in a couple of nights. But better than that, get some tickets. Be there for the Ducks and Blues. From a partner, Emerson Edom, and the entire crew here at Rogers Arena. Good night, and stay tuned for some great post-game chatter with Emerson and Alexis from back home. And you're tuned in to all of it on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn.
Your SoCal Honda dealers are always looking for ways to help our community. That's why we have teams of helpful guys and gals in blue lending a hand all around SoCal, ready to provide random acts of helpfulness. And that's not the only place your SoCal Honda dealers are helpful. Every Honda dealership has sales teams ready to help you find your perfect Honda with a great deal. To find out more, click SoCalHondaDealers.com or search your local Honda dealer today.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
The Anaheim Ducks are back on the ice, and this season you can be in the stands to experience it all live.
Terry backhand scores! Troy Terry!
Shop a wide variety of seats for every match from Ticketmaster, the official ticketing partner of the Anaheim Ducks and the NHL, and make sure you don't miss a single moment. And rest assured, if your plans change, Ticketmaster has you covered. You can securely sell your seats to other fans with just a few taps. Get tickets now at Ticketmaster.com/Ducks.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. And the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bpbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort is waiting to be discovered. Sure, you might have been on It's a Small World. Who doesn't love that? But have you found your inner hero at Avengers Campus? Avengers Assemble! Or have you dropped on in to check out Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Discover your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort. Park tickets and reservations required. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
The future is now. Be at Honda Center to cheer your Ducks every home game next season as a 2025-26 Orange Alliance season ticket member. Get the best seats, best savings, and best benefits. Prove your fandom by joining the flock. Visit AnaheimDucks.com/Orange Alliance.
Anaheim Ducks Hockey is brought to you by UCI Health. At UCI Health, we stop at nothing to prevent, treat, and cure cancer. Visit UCIHealth.org/stop-at-nothing. Stay tuned for Anaheim Ducks postgame show, up next on DuckStream. You're listening to the Anaheim Ducks postgame show with Alexis Downey, exclusively on DuckStream, the official 24/7 audio network of Ducks Hockey.
On the back end of a back-to-back, the Anaheim Ducks fall to the Vancouver Canucks on the road at Rogers Arena tonight. 3-2, the final score in favor of Vancouver. Welcome into the postgame show on DuckStream. I'm Alexis Downey. Emerson Edom is joining us in Vancouver for this one. Emmer, this game seemed to get away from the Anaheim Ducks. You look at the shots on goal, only 16 for the Ducks, 36 for Vancouver. A lot of different moving pieces in this one, but ultimately a tough loss for the team.
Yeah, and look, the Ducks, they just got flat out outplayed for the better portion of that hockey game. Look, the Vancouver Canucks outshot, as you just mentioned, the Anaheim Ducks. They outhit the Ducks, 26 hits for the Vancouver Canucks, 20 for the Anaheim Ducks. The Vancouver Canucks, they scored on the power play. Anaheim Ducks didn't, even though they only had two chances. And, I mean, just that face-off percentage margin, 70.7% win percentage for the Vancouver Canucks, 29.3% for the Anaheim Ducks. And it just, they continue to struggle in a couple of those key categories I just mentioned. I just, you wonder how the Anaheim Ducks, even though they came out with the win, they are the much better hockey club for the majority of the game last game, how that they didn't tailor that or at least have an uptick in that shots on goal department as Edmonton outshot the Anaheim Ducks last night. So couldn't quite learn from that game in that sense. But look, it's just these minor areas, right? The we talked about special teams. I mean, it's just one of those things where they didn't need it as far as power play production in last game. But, you know, I said in the Honda Keys of the game, you had that hunch that would be a little bit different here in this game. Just is back-to-back. You're a little bit more fatigued. And a way you can get ahead is on the power play with the man advantage. It just wasn't the case here tonight.
The Ducks 0-2 on the power play, and you could tell there was some fatigue on the end of this back-to-back in this game for the Ducks tonight. Let's get into the highlights in this one, and John Gibson started the game in the net, and what a save. Probably the save of the year from him coming early in the game on Vancouver's Brock Besser.
Ducks go after it. Leo Carlson takes the hit there. Front of the Vancouver players' bench.
Well, it was great support. First, it was Trevor Zegras laying the body, creating a turnover. And then it was a great F3 presence from Alex Lorne, followed up by a great F3 presence from Leo Carlson.
Oh, my! What a save by Gibson after a feed in front of the net by Pugh Suter. They had two players coming to the left of the goaltender, John Gibson. who appears to be maybe just a little shaken up, unless he's getting a new stick. Looking at a replay up here on the TV screen. Oh, boy, I don't know if I've ever seen that. Puck behind Gibson, threw his left arm behind it to catch it and keep the puck from going over the goal line. Oh, wow.
I tell you what, Steve, that might be the save of the year right there. I mean, just goaltender acrobatics at its finest.
Emmer, I would love to know how Gibby was able to pull that one off. I mean, perfect timing, just turning around, seeing it right behind him and gloving it down.
Yeah, it's remarkable. You just got to, for his sake, you just got to flash the leather behind you and just hope for the best. And oftentimes you can knock that one in, right? So it's just got to be everything aligning up perfectly, as was the case. And I don't know if we'll ever see something similar, right? You can bat that out of the air and send it to the corner, but to actually glove it down from behind the back, that's at a whole nother universe.
Truly an incredible first period for John Gibson, making 17 stops on 17 Vancouver shots on goal. The Ducks were able to get on the board in the first period. It was Sam Colangelo getting a goal now in back-to-back nights.
Here comes Mac T on the near side entry.
McTavish outside the circle to the left of Lankin, and a shot from the point. They score! Anaheim gets the first goal on a shot from the blue line. And it was deflected in by the goaltender. And the Anaheim Ducks get on the board on a goal from Colangelo at 6:39 to go in period one.
Good on Sam Colangelo to get another goal here tonight. And I really like that play, Emmer.
Yeah, it's zero hesitation from Cutter sending that one to the net. And how about the stop up from Mason McTavish? You can't break these three up moving forward. They're just finding a rhythm. Just game in and game out, shift in and shift out. And Sam Colangelo, once again, I mentioned it not too long after he scored, in a sense that not everyone wants to get to that net front area, right? You take a beating getting to that area constantly. This is back-to-back games now where he just finds that area and just gets, and I know it's they don't ask how, right? It's a little bit of a greasy one, but it, methodically, I didn't see it on the initial or in real time. I thought it just went off of one of his equipment, but he turned around, he got his stick in a position, and it was a very nice tip. So just a all-around heads-up play from that three.
Well, he's been one of the goal scorers for the San Diego Gulls this year, and he's been able to translate that to the opportunity that he's had up here in Anaheim. Good on him. 1-0 after the first period. The Ducks leading, despite only having 5 shots on goal. We moved into the second, and it was all Vancouver. DeBrusque, a power play goal that tied the game up. Teddy Bluger getting the next goal, 2-1 game at that point. And then the next one is where things started to kind of shift in this game. Carson Soucy, with 1:09 to go, gets a goal. However, it would be challenged by Anaheim for goaltender interference. And you'll hear the rest here.
Sherwood goes after it, moves it away from Mintikoff to the blue line. They move in, a shot! Blocked down in front by Hoaglander. Boy, there's a big pileup in the goal crease. A shot, they score! And part of that was the fact that there was 3 or 4 players, some from both sides, alongside Dostal. And I think we might have the officials talk about this to see if they want to replay or what's going to happen. The two referees get together. Right now, you would think it's a goal, but stranger things have happened. 1:09 to go. Canucks lead 3-1, and the referee is about to go to the other side of the rink with perhaps some information. Right now, it looks like the goal's going to count.
And the goal did count in this case, 3-1 game. Emerson, what did you see there? And did you think that that one was a fair goal?
Well, the word we got up here was that there was an inability for the Vancouver Canucks skaters, one of them being Kiefer Sherwood, to exit out of behind Lukáš Dostal. Now, I didn't see anyone but Lukáš Dostal in front of at least Kiefer Sherwood. So I don't know if that was involving the other skaters for Vancouver, but I think the player, at least I was concerned about, was Kiefer Sherwood. Maybe, once again, the officials deemed that that other skater was unable to exit out of that area, but that's the word we got. Don't know quite if on the follow-up reviews and what we'll hear after, of course, maybe the next few hours or so, what the final call from the league will be. But I haven't seen an explanation in that manner. So it's just something that we'll have to continue to tune in on. And it was an unfortunate break for the Ducks.
It really was unfortunate, especially that late in the period, allowing Vancouver 3 goals in the second. It took about 5 minutes for them to review that as well, for them to eventually make that call. So it looked like at the end there, Lukasz Dostal skated over to the referees, talked with them a little bit. So I'm sure he wasn't obviously too happy about that, the way that one ended. But 3-1 game after the second period. The Ducks still had a little bit left in the tank, and it was Brian Dumoulin getting the rebound at the crease, 13-27 into the third.
Down to 6:45 and counting. And up the ice, Hronek will drop it. And a battle for the puck, and here's Leason grinding in, centers the puck. Lundestrom stop, rebound, score! The Ducks get a big one here. Initially, it looked like the puck might have been kicked in. But we're going to get a look at the replay up here. Leason brought it in. Ducks fed it to the net. Stop, and then a rebound put in by Dumoulin has cut the lead to 3-2.
Brett Leason getting an assist on that one. Emerson, I felt like that fourth line in particular was working hard tonight. We heard a couple chances there from Brett Leason throughout the game.
Yeah, I thought Brett Leason was really skating well. He really wanted that puck, and criticized him a tad early on with, of course, not getting that puck into the corner and deadening it there and electing to have it a little bit harder on the entry and getting it to the goalie. But he just seemed to really pick up his or elevate his percentage in playmaking. It seemed like as the game went on and in that play, and once again, you had the skater cutting right in front of him. I thought the right play was to headman the puck there, but he reached up, he gained the line, he sent it cross ice to Isaac Lundestrom, and just, you'll see those types of moments through Brett Leason's game where he just has just some lights out moments. That one in particular, all of a sudden, kind of like Jackson Lacombe has those veteran plays, those 10, 12-year NHL vet and all-star type plays. I mean, that was that type of patience. That was that type of play showing some serious confidence. And how about Isaac Lundestrom? It was a hard shot. If he didn't have that hard of a shot, maybe there was no secondary opportunity. So he really tossed that one at the net with authority. It's just a great scoop of the puck from the streak in Brian Dumoulin.
And it made the game interesting late in the third, 3-2 game. Wouldn't be enough for the Ducks in this one. However, a late scrap from Trevor Zegras and Connor Garland with just 5 seconds to go was the way this one ended.
Lacombe ahead for Leo Carlson. Going behind the goal line was tied up on the play by the big guy Myers. And Vancouver will throw the puck all the way down the ice. And now down at the other end, we have a scrap, a fight. And it looks like Trevor Zegras is involved with Garland. Yep, they are behind the net. Right hand there by Garland, uppercut Garland. There's a shot side of Zegras' face. Now another two fights are breaking out in the corner to our right. The officials have the Zegras scrap pretty much stopped. But there's a melee, couple of officials. Lacombe is being separated. Can't tell who the other guy is down in the pile for Anaheim. Is that Trouba? Yeah, Trouba and Lacombe separated. I'll tell you, that brought out a lot of fans standing up, cheering for their respective teams. But it's going to be interesting, the penalty scenario. And the other part of it is 5.6 left. That's going to be difficult to get a tying goal regardless where the faceoff is.
And it seems to be that our takeaway in the end there is that there were a lot of emotions late in this game.
And in the earlier parts of the season, AD, you and I talked about maybe the lack of response, right? The lack of intensity, hunger, after maybe some cheap shots are thrown or the opposition tosses a couple jabs. Well, it just seems this last stretch, as this team has gotten closer and played much more competitive and solid hockey, that they've been sticking up for one another, which is great to see. You loved seeing Trevor Zegras early in the game when O'Connor went right into John Gibson there. He stood up for his netminder, took a shot at O'Connor saying, we're not going to tolerate this. And I thought that was great. And, of course, there at the tail end, as we just heard, just once again, sticking up for one another. He was done with Connor Garland's antics. And I just think it's how Garland played. He played phenomenal hockey for the full 60 minutes here, and it wore the Anaheim Ducks down. He was yapping after most stoppages, so Trevor Zegras had enough of it. And I really like that mentality, especially heading into the next game for the Ducks, right? Because it just sets the tone. It says they're hungry. They're still in it as far as, and it's always been outside looking in where this Ducks team is in the standings, chasing this one of these wild card spots. But look, they're fighting and trying to stay in each and every one of these games. And I love that intensity.
I want to ask you, was it not Connor Garland that Jacob Trouba talked about in the players' lounge with you at the end of last week?
Yes, so things kind of foaming over or brewing from last game, right? So, to your point, that was a great point. This didn't start here tonight. This started last game or even prior to that. So, emotions ran high, and I really like how this team really, they didn't stop fighting. They fought till the very end, and you got to love that. You got to love the drop in the midst of Z. It shows that they're all in.
Well, you know, it's going to make the next meeting in about a month very interesting between these two teams. And we'll see, as far as the standings go, where the two teams are also at. But after this one tonight, Emerson, you come away with 2 of 4 points on the road trip. Just your overall takeaways for this back-to-back.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that the Ducks couldn't sustain the momentum generated from last game, yesterday's performance, right? And it just... hey, maybe the legs were just that shot. They drained too much of the tank in that game versus Edmonton. They really pushed Edmonton back. I'm sure that game was quite hard on the body. They were getting to the gritty areas. They were fast all game long. And I think they looked a little depleted. For sure the faster team here tonight was Vancouver all game long. Yeah, Anaheim was able to score a couple, of course. They had their moments, but yeah, think of the penalties, right? 5 penalties taken there. And that just goes to show that, hey, maybe the legs were a little bit tired. Utilization of the stick more than the legs to keep up with the Canucks here. So I think they were a little bit depleted from last night's game heading into this one here tonight.
You could definitely see it early in this game, but throughout as well. A good effort, though, overall in the end for the Ducks for a late push. Emerson, thanks for joining us here on the post-game show. Looking forward to the next one at Honda Center on Friday.
Yeah, this one stings, AD, but you know what? I got a hunch that the Anaheim Ducks are going to learn from this one and be better next game.
Safe travels back to Orange County. Enjoy the evening and your popcorn that you talked about early on in the broadcast.
Hey, you know what? The Ducks, they didn't get the 2 points. I'm still going to go back to the hotel room with Steve, and we're going to replay again and again and again that ginormous John Gibson save.
as you should with your popcorn. All right. We're going to take a commercial break, and when we return, we'll get to the text line. If you want to send us your thoughts on this game here tonight, you can text us at 714-940-2950.
Your SoCal Honda dealers are always looking for ways to help our community. That's why we have teams of helpful guys and gals in blue lending a hand all around SoCal, ready to provide random acts of helpfulness. And that's not the only place your SoCal Honda dealers are helpful. Every Honda dealership has sales teams ready to help you find your perfect Honda with a great deal. To find out more, click SoCalHondaDealers.com or search your local Honda dealer today.
Products that keep your business performing at the highest level. Solutions designed to streamline your team's playbook. and the expertise to help your business score big. Pacific Premier Bank, part of your team and the official business bank of the Anaheim Ducks and the Honda Center. Visit bbbi.com. Member FDIC. It doesn't get much better than this.
Support comes from UCI Health, home of Orange County's first and only adult bone marrow transplant program with groundbreaking cancer research and world-class treatments. They stop at nothing for a cancer-free future. UCIHealth.org/BMT.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com and score big. Orange County's premier injury firm and official personal injury attorneys of the Anaheim Ducks. At Easton & Easton, our family of litigators has more than 100 years combined experience fighting the insurance companies in all types of injury accidents. With our family, every case is personal and handled by an actual attorney. Call to speak with an attorney today at 1-833-EASTONS. That's 1-833-EASTONS. Let our family help yours at EastonLawFirm.com.
Visit EastonLawFirm.com. To score big. Official personal injury attorneys on the Anaheim Ducks.
Since 1894, Arrowhead brand 100% mountain spring water has been there for you with a natural, crisp taste sourced from springs in and west of the Rockies, refreshing our everyday moments. And now, proudly hydrating the Anaheim Ducks. Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. Nothing else.
Your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort is waiting to be discovered. Sure, you might have been on It's a Small World. Who doesn't love that? But have you found your inner hero at Avengers Campus? Avengers Assemble! Or have you dropped on in to check out Tiana's Bayou Adventure? Discover your next favorite thing about the Disneyland Resort. Park tickets and reservations required. Visit Disneyland.com for details.
The future is now. Be at Honda Center to cheer on your Ducks for every home game next season as a 2025-26 Orange Alliance season ticket member. As a member, you'll receive lower ticket prices, 25% off concessions, including beer and hard seltzers, 15% off Ducks merchandise, hassle-free parking, special member gifts, invitations to exclusive events throughout the year, and much, much more. Check out the full list of benefits by visiting AnaheimDucks.com/Orange Alliance.
We're back with your post-game coverage of this Ducks loss tonight on the road, 3-2 to the Vancouver Canucks. And hey, thanks for sticking with us. It's a late one, 7:30 start time. So quite a long game, a little bit later here on the West Coast than normal for an ending. And if you're not in Pacific time, even better. Thanks for sticking with us on the post-game show. But as Emerson and I just talked about, plenty of things that didn't go in the Ducks' favor tonight. Not enough shots on goal, only 16 for Anaheim tonight, 36 for the Canucks. They just had the better jump in their game overall, you could tell. I mean, starting that first period, 17 shots on goal that John Gibson faced in the net. And that's going to be a talking point here. John Gibson leaving this one, Lukáš Dostál coming in to relieve him in the second period, 6:12 to go in the second period after Gibson was run into by Drew O'Connor, basically bulldozed right into the net, left the game, lower body injury, did not return. Really a shame. He was having a strong night. And overall, I mean, you watch the way Vancouver played this game. They were driving the net all throughout. That's where some of the frustrations came from. We talked about in that last segment, Trevor Zegras standing up for John Gibson. Well, there was a late point in this game where, once again, Drew O'Connor at the net, Jacob Trouba coming in this time, standing up for his netminder. So got to keep him out of the crease. Vancouver, they wanted to be in the crease tonight. We're talking a little bit more about that with the goaltender interference as well. But let's get to the text line, some of your thoughts on this game here tonight, and keep talking through it. Definitely a disappointing loss for this Ducks team. You were so excited after that win last night in Edmonton. Such a great effort overall, up and down the lineup, all four lines. And on the back end, Jackson Lacombe, huge night for him. Good night for Radko Gudas, his D partner as well. But you come into this game, you know that the travel's a little tough on the team, but it's a later start, so maybe you get an extra half hour with your pregame nap for some of these guys. But overall, just some tired legs tonight. Vancouver outskating them, possessing the puck quite a bit in the Ducks zone. The Ducks had struggled with some of their breakouts at points. They did get a nice forecheck late in the game, getting some chances in the zone, but overall, just tough night when you look at the shots on goal in particular. Nothing generated on the power play either. Daniel from Corona, two things were unacceptable tonight. All right, Daniel, let's hear it. Our shots on goal and the refereeing. The Zebra seemed to look away no matter how much contact happened in the Anaheim goal crease. There it is. Don't like to make excuses, but can't help to think that it impacted the game. Hoping Gibby is okay. Yes, we hope John Gibson is okay. That did not look good. He took his time getting off the ice. Even when he was trying to get through the bench to get into the locker room down the tunnel, you could tell he was feeling that one. And I mean, what we see looks fast, but in real time, it's even faster. So hoping that he's all right. But yeah, this one, as far as the referees in this game, unfortunately, mostly with this goaltender interference call is just what comes to mind here in particular. I mean, it's something where you get the long review, you kind of get your hopes up that, hey, maybe they do see something. But then when you look at the final call, you know, they say on the ice, oh, it was due to the Ducks players pushing, I'm assuming Sherwood it was that they were looking at, not necessarily Bluger. It looked like he got out of the way into the crease. Dostal was immediately upset. Sherwood was right behind him. And when you looked at the overhead view, you could see Sherwood put his arm into Dostal's back. So that was puzzling to me. But then when you look at the overall play, Trouba, Mintikov in there, you know, it ultimately it does become the NHL's call. But it's frustrating. I feel your frustration, Daniel, and it does feel like it made an impact in this game here tonight, but you know, what can you do as you look ahead, unfortunately. But yes, your other point, shots on goal, unacceptable. Five shots on goal in both, five in the first, five in the second, six in the final frame. And there were some quality chances in that final frame in particular, but you got to have more, especially coming off a game like last night where put up a lot of goals, not necessarily a lot of shots, 27 shots last night. Just we got to up that number. You got to get more pucks through, and Vancouver wasn't really letting that happen here tonight. Another message here from Tony. Tough one tonight, won't lie. Yep, I feel that one too, Tony. Number one, Gibby makes the best save of his career. Hope he's okay. I mean, that save was incredible. Emerson and I talked through it in the last segment. But the awareness that he had, maybe just trusting his instinct there. Usually, Emerson made a point, you tap that puck in the net. But the fact that he was able to get his glove back up and under it, barely looking, just seeing out of his peripheral vision, I mean, incredible athleticism shown by John Gibson. And it was really a exciting way to start the game, but also worrisome in the sense of what Vancouver came out of the gates like. All right, anyways, number two, Vetrano penalty cost us valuable time down the stretch. He should know better. Agreed with you. There was 4:51 to go in the game. You take that minor. You can't have that. You cannot take that penalty. He sat in the box shaking his head. He knew what he did. He should not have done that. Obviously, that hooking penalty late in the game. No shots on goal by Vancouver, but they were really just playing with the puck, it felt like, on that one. Just trying to not allow Anaheim any breakout chances. Nothing out of the box from him. So that was a costly penalty. I agree with you on that one. And your final point here from Tony. Early in the season, Mintikov was out of the lineup for almost a month, and now he's much improved. Olin Zellweger has been a healthy scratch five straight now. Is he part of our future? I thought he showed promise before the break. Enjoy Vancouver tonight. It's cold and question in OC. Might be just the text line, but I know it was raining here today, so maybe that's what we're talking about. As far as Olin Zellweger, yes, he's definitely a part of this Anaheim Ducks future. It's just one of those situations, and I just talked to Radko Gudas about this, and he said that it's a learning thing for both of these guys, Pavel Mintikov and Zellweger and Mintikov, because they're very young in their careers. It's a frustrating thing to be in this sort of rotation that they're in, but it's also a learning experience and maybe one that'll motivate, and kind of what we've seen from Mintikov. He's coming back in much improved because he had the time to watch the games. Do I feel the same way about Zellweger sitting out, getting the time to watch the games? Not necessarily. I think 5 games straight is a long time to sit him. And what we saw out of him early in the season, he started off the season so well. Then he started getting out of the lineup. And I think it has affected his game. So I hope that when he does make it back into this Ducks lineup, it isn't going to affect his game negatively. But I think it has kind of hurt his confidence a little bit. I mean, he is always studying the game. He loves hockey. He eats, sleeps, breathes hockey. He's always all about it. So you know he's learning, but I think it's one thing to watch and learn for some players, but it's another to physically do it. And I think for Zellweger, it's definitely wearing on him not being a part of these games. But I do think that he is for sure a part of this Ducks future. There's so much excitement around him. Where he started, they kept him down in San Diego to make sure he developed. He was ready to go. Now he's up here full-time, obviously not in these last 5 games, but he's a part of this team, and I don't see that changing. So I'm going to take a break, and when we return, we'll keep going through some more of your thoughts here on the text line, get through some of the stats from this game, and look ahead to the Ducks coming back home to Honda Center.
TuneIn's Coffeehouse Station is open for business. So pull up a cozy chair and start soundtracking your day with light acoustic classics from today's most soothing songwriters, like indie geniuses Bon Iver, soft rock newcomer Phoebe Bridgers, and acoustic legend Jack Johnson. All in a soul-warming rotation on TuneIn's exclusive Coffeehouse Station. Just search Coffeehouse on TuneIn to listen.
iHeartRadio is streaming on TuneIn from top music hits, breaking news, and sports talk. It's all here on TuneIn. You can hear Ryan Seacrest on 102.7 KISS FM.
How much do we love this job?
The Breakfast Club on Power 105.1.
We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building. Snoop Dogg!
Or 98.1 The Breeze. And every other iHeartRadio station. Just search iHeartRadio to find all your favorite radio stations and start listening today.
Hey, Debbie, we got so much classic country music on our record shelves.
I'm listening.
What do you say we make another radio station? We'll celebrate guys like Stoney Edwards and O.C. Smith, you know, guys who didn't get a lot of radio play back in the day.
And how about fearless gals like Tammy, Loretta, and Dolly, who paved the way for the female country singers of today?
Well, let's call it Country a Go-Go.
Yes. You keep saying you
got something for me. Search Country a Go-Go or ask your device to play Country a Go-Go on TuneIn.
The music you love is the key to a great day. And the best place to hear music for every mood from every genre is TuneIn. This all-in-one audio app brings together top curated music stations, spinning today's hits, top country tracks, the best in Latin hits, and anything else you want to soundtrack your day. Plus, if you upgrade to TuneIn Premium for a low monthly price, you'll keep the good tunes and the good vibes going without any ads. So if you're looking for your next party soundtrack, look no further than TuneIn.
Hey there, it's your friend Stormy Warren. Buckle up and join me every single weekday from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central right here exclusively on TuneIn. What can you expect from my show? Well, we're talking about and playing the hottest, freshest, and newest country music around, not to mention plenty of the biggest hits you already know and love. Just search the Big 615 or ask your device to play the Big 615 on TuneIn.
The biggest classic rock hits do just that. They hit hard. And on TuneIn's Classic Rock Hits, you'll find only the best in high-octane awesomeness. We're talking rock gods like Led Zeppelin, Kiss, AC/DC, Lynyrd Skynyrd, and so many more. So for those of you about to rock, search Classic Rock Hits or ask your smart device to play Classic Rock Hits on TuneIn.
We're back with the post-game show. Let's go through some of the stats from this one here tonight. I've already talked about the Ducks' low shots on goal, only 16 on that end tonight, 36 for the Canucks, and your leading shots on goal player for the Ducks tonight, Mason McTavish. He had 3 shots on goal. Faceoffs, not good for the Ducks tonight, 29.3%. That is very low. Looked at the way this team started in the first period at 35, so it just continued to go down throughout this game. In terms of the power play, we talked about that one, 0 for 2 there. The Canucks 1 for 5 on their power play. Anaheim 20 hits, 26 from the Canucks. The game did get physical, as we saw late in this one. 12 block shots for the Ducks, 15 for Vancouver. And, of course, who else? Jacob Trouba, the blocked shots leader for Anaheim tonight with 6 of them, something he is very good at doing. All right, let's get back over to the text line now. Sherry in Stanton on NHL.com, go to news, then go to situation room. It says the Vancouver player was pushed into the crease by both Anaheim defensemen. And I did go during the break to find exactly what the call was from the NHL, and it does specifically say that the video review confirmed Mintikov and Trouba caused Kiefer Sherwood to contact Lukáš Dostál prior to the goal. So that's what the league is going with. That was the decision. Unfortunately for the Ducks, an unsuccessful challenge. And a challenge that you had to take. I mean, I think if you're the coaching staff and you got to challenge that, and especially with the way the game was going, could potentially change the momentum, but unfortunately not a one challenge, questionable one in our end. And we'll, I guess, leave it at that. Got to move on and look ahead to, what's next for the Ducks. Another message we got here. What do you think caused the aggression from Z at the end? Definitely not mad about it, but don't see that often from Trevor. Anything to do with trade deadline or just the way the game went? I think it was just the way the game went. As I was talking about with Emerson earlier, Connor Garland got under the Ducks' skin in the last game. Something with Jacob Trouba on the ice transpired. So clearly someone that likes to talk on the ice. Z was frustrated in this game. He was standing up for his teammates. You love to see that. Speaks to just the closeness in the locker room amongst this team right now. And they want to win. They really want to win these games. They know what they're playing for. Z has made that known, especially that he is, since he's been a part of this Ducks organization, this is the first time at this point in the season they're starting to play meaningful games, and it's really exciting for him. So he cares. And I think that the aggression from him at the end was just kind of all of his emotions about this game. Of course, maybe some things said on the ice as well. For him to drop the gloves, kind of, I stand with that. I think that, you know, late in the game at that point, it was an okay call to do that, because it just shows, you know, this is what they're playing for. The Ducks know what they're playing for, and Z was passionate about it. And I don't think it had to do with anything with the trade deadline. I think it was just the way the game went. But when you bring up the trade deadline, yes, that's on Friday. 12 o'clock Pacific time is the deadline. So this is the final Ducks game before the deadline. Kind of crazy to think about. So we'll have to see what happens in the next couple days, what GM Pat Verbeek decides between now and Friday at noon, and if anyone else is going to be busy, because it has been so far a decently busy week. Things started to pick up back again as they did earlier in the week. Another message that we have here. Ducks were outworked and played exhausted against these Canucks, who were missing Hughes. Yes, good point. No Quinn Hughes in this game here tonight. If there was ever a game Cronin should have felt nearly forced to finally play Zellweger, this was it. Arrested Zelly could have made a difference in the third. Also, I get us trying to avoid getting too many penalties, but we got to defend the crease better. We're getting penalized regardless already. Well, yes, we've been talking about that, defending the crease. Vancouver was all over it tonight. And that's why, as Emerson pointed out earlier, Z standing up for John Gibson when he got ran into, good on him. basically, you know, defending that area. Jacob Trouba doing the same as well. So good to see, you know, there's moments of that, but overall, yeah, that was definitely in the Canucks game plan tonight to get to the front of the net. And that's obviously what they were able to do. To your point on Zellweger, I talked a bit about him in the last segment. I also feel that we are missing him. I'd like to see him back in the lineup soon, because sitting out that amount of games just hasn't been good for him in the past. So hopefully we'll get to see him back in this Ducks lineup here soon. And I'll be curious if there will be any changes when the team heads back to Honda Center for their next game against the Blues on Friday. All right, one more message before we start to wrap things up. Red from Buena Park, the Ducks were a weary group tonight, but their starts to games have got to be better. Traffic in front of the net was sorely missing. The power play continues to be a momentum killer and not enough of a shooting mentality. Four straight games without a power play goal. It's starting to make a difference in these one goal games. Really like Trevor Zegras and Jacob Trouba sticking up for John Gibson in the second. Yep, there it is. Tough fact. Oh, here we go with the facts. The Ducks have won the special teams battle only 4 out of 25 games played this calendar year. Oh, my. We could have left that one. No, we're good. We're good. Yes, special teams not been good for the Ducks. That's something we talked about in the pregame show, how that could have made that was going to make an impact in this game. For the Canucks, it did. They were able to get a power play goal. So you look at just a lot of different areas of this game. I think it's one that the team needs to put behind them, look ahead to the next matchup, because they're going to be hosting the St. Louis Blues on Friday, a Blues team that took down the Los Angeles Kings here tonight, which means, well, they're close. They're at 66 points, the Blues now, right behind Vancouver and Calgary, who hold 67 points. So that means that the Ducks are still 6 points out. But as I mentioned, just important for the team down the stretch. The Blues are 6-2-2 in their last 10. They've been playing well. And hey, there's a familiar face on the other side that we'll get to see once again in Cam Fowler. So that next game, 7:00 on Friday. You can join us for the pregame show at 6:30. It's the start of 3 home games at Honda Center. One on Friday, one on Sunday against the New York Islanders, and then one next Tuesday, kicking off another back-to-back. The team's 11 of 13 back-to-backs this season. There's a lot of back-to-backs, and it's going to be a tough one as they're going to be playing the Capitals and the Utah Hockey Club. So, as I mentioned, just a lot of hockey ahead next week. 4 games. The team needs to be rested. They got to turn the page, get ready for this next one on Friday. And as they always do, take it a game at a time. If you want to stick around and listen to the replay of this one here tonight, you can on the other side of the commercial break. But as I mentioned, join us again on Friday for the Ducks' next game at Honda Center, taking on the St. Louis Blues. 6:30 pregame show for you, 7:00. Puck drop, the final score tonight in Vancouver, 3-2. The Canucks getting this one from the Ducks. One more game left in this season series, though, for the Ducks to hopefully close it out on a high note as well. Thank you for tuning in to the postgame show on DuckStream, powered by TuneIn, and have a great night.